I'm done with.
Obviously, neither was defying the laws of physics in mass takes place. The problem said the mess was that people were mesh, so that every person tried to make sure the other person had place. And it didn't follow once, they waited for one to go down, and the other ones pushed aside, gave them place, and then they did it. Sure. The cool but beautiful thing is some everyone will have a place here, I should be saying. The other mess would be that the bigger building. That's a story. You can look it on the way out. It's another mess. Okay, let's start. It's a bit problematic because we built up a certain theme through Friday night and Shabbos, and now I see the things in context, and we have to give a broader Hakdama before we start with learning kids. I just want to make once again a remark. As opposed to Shona Esrei, or the Tfilos of the Mikra, which even if you don't understand what they are, there's inherent value in saying them because they're Masukim through Anshei Knesset HaKerela or the Parnitation itself. So the more you understand, the better it is, but obviously there's inherent value in saying it without any depth of understanding. So when we talk about Kinois or Slifos, let's understand we are engaged in the evil poetry reading. The value it lies only if you understand what you're saying, A, and it generates a certain feeling. Excuse me, in Yiddish, the zogachs, just to say, has really, well, maybe there's a value in continuing customer values, well, that there is certain value in that, but there's no inherent value in saying these things unless we understand what they are, and A, B, just reading poetry is not the name of the game. This will start your up sense, a feeling of what this is supposed to be, as we described yesterday in Rosh Hashanah Rambam. Hachat daiga pishpush b'maisin v'tshuva. The Rambam describes, we learned yesterday, what is avelus? Avelus is something we have encountered, a certain lack of total stability of existence, and we're afraid. We have lost stability, and finally, after a certain period of time, we evolve into concern of how to continue life with this lack of stability. And then we look into introspection to understand why did we merit this instability? And how do we live with it, and how do we fix it? The value of a tinus, as Rambam says in Furish, if this tinus is one thing only, it's not, it's great for a diet, let me tell you. I mean, the system is very thankful for that, but that's not what it's for. No, it's not for, as I mentioned yesterday, okay, when does it end? Sometimes you feel specifically on Yom Kippur, I wish you would stick around for another day. It takes a whole day to actually connect to it. You finally feel Yom Kippur, Dick, when you said the Hashem Melech. And then it's over. And then you say, Burachim Chapa'ovim Layashna, so you're already back to the old game. Tainus is there, as the Rambam writes, is only for one thing. It's in order that we should be shoved to tshuva and to look into our actions and see how our actions parallel to the actions of our forefathers, and because of that, whatever they caused with our sins, we're perpetuating through our lifetime. That's what the tainus is for. It's a day of sitting and thinking, of introspection, of pishkush b'maisim v'chazor b'tshuva. Koshkei v'kavachomer, a tainus of Tisha B'Av, which is a tainus of Avelus. As we pointed out, the Rambam said the ultimate of Avelus is pachad, daiga, pishpush v'maisim, v'chazor v'tshuva. If a person doesn't have a natural inclination towards that, the Rambam calls him abzori, callous. Lacks a basic, natural, normal sensitivity. Where does this lack of sensitivity come for the base of English? And here I want to take the theme that we started, but I think it's so important before we engage in this, because every year I try to find what can I connect to in this book. There's a lot of things here. We can, it's a great, you know, journey in history. But in the grand subject, I'm not going to open up a dessert. So what does we all want from me now with my psyllium? I actually don't have any. I have psyllium on my tits. But I don't have any psyllium. I'm not bowing down to him. I'm a Buddhist, but I'm not. I mean, verstehnisch, what do they want from me? I need to stop by the Chanel speaking French or Mathematica. Not that bad. You know what I mean? What do they want from me? How do I identify with this? As I mentioned on Friday night, look, look at the sex, how much do I really miss the base of English? I mean, everyone goes over backwards and says maybe the Navajo there won't be pure butters because we can't, Western people can't relate to animal sacrifices. What's a mistake? Rama was Mepurish that there will be Karbanis laws of law by the grace of Mashiach. It's simply an academic fallacy which we will just got in the place to discuss, especially thought with our Mishnah, which we could say basic mistake, a misunderstanding in this reading. You are praying for Mashiach, you are praying for a temple which have skirted priests, slicing throats of goats, drinking blood on altars, singing nasal oriental music, and that's what you're looking for. And you are praying for a Sanhedrin which should give Agua Mises Bezdin or a Kippah, that's even worse. If they can't get you officially, they'll get you, put you in solitary confinement and give you a terrible bleeding ulcer and you will die. Oh, and this Malchus, our boy, it reminds me of a mixture of Saudi Arabia and Iran. This will be a monarchy and a theocracy. You can't change the president. And this is what you're looking for, and this is what you're crying about. How can you really identify with this? So, you know, I know what we see the Shahid is not the Mikdash that we care about, it's the Bechina of the Mikdash. I guess everything is, but Bechina means I don't know what it is, but I hope it works. What are you missing? What tangible capability do you have to connect to anything that we're supposed to be doing today? You can talk about the great tragedies of the Crusades. Well, you're living in a burning field. Not sure anybody's walking around waving the cross at you. You can talk of history of New York and see what happened there. Think of the Masada. Thank you so much. Place to go for a trek, you know, during your vacation, and to connect in history. But is this what this is, a trek in history? Where's the din avelus on that? Connect, you see, you know. So I know that some people try to connect to Holocaust movies. It's become Holocaust movies today. I can suggest a few. But is this what this is? You try to feel sad, buy an onion and start crying. Is this what this is? It is true that we mourn all the different tragedies in Judaism. It's true as you see in the Guinness. But you have to see them in a certain context which puts them all together, which has to relate to the day of today. What are we missing? So I think again, for years and years I've dealt with this. Today I want to talk about one aspect. It was, I think, 1976, or maybe 77. I was a young married man. For whatever reason it had to be, I had to go to Paris for Shabbos and Thomas. But when one is stuck in Paris for Shabbos and Thomas, what are you going to do? Not exactly going to go to the Pont d'Orgeil. So where am I going to go on Shabbos and Thomas? You go to the Louvre, you go to the Grand Museum, to the Roman Pavilion. I simply want to see the bust of Vespasian and Titus. I want to see what they look like. I have something like, this is a Shabbos, who are they? I've read Flavius, I've read the Gemara. Now I want to see what they look like. It was interesting. I went there. I was walking through the Rebel Pavilion. I walked there to shoot the shepherd. I was such a terrible person. Like, what does his face look like? And then I moved to another pavilion, another hall. And there I saw a statue which has put its imprint on me, literally, as Hayyim and probably to the Zibullah Basrais. I saw a statue of a very famous statue. It's a replica of something found on the side of the great cathedral in Strasbourg. I don't know if you like art. And there were two twin young women there. It's called Synagoga and Ecclesia, the church and the synagogue. It's called Rome and Jerusalem. And the two twin sisters, one is dressed in majestic robes with a crown and the staff of authority, and on top of the center with the orb, with the cross, the Malchus, the kingdom of the church, the new Israel. And next to her was her twin sister with torn robes, no crown, and she was blindfolded. And she had a staff, but the staff was broken. And this was supposed to be Judea. This was supposed to be the synagogue. I just sat there for over an hour. I could have cried. Because it hit me what the Churban really is. The Churban is that the world believed that Tsar Shevet Yehuda u'mechokek mibein raglav. That this nation has no more covenant with God. This nation is no more a nation. It has no staff of authority. It has no nationhood. It has no national identity. It has no national culture. The nationhood of Israel ceases to exist, for the covenant of God is with the nation of Israel. And we are shareholders in that nation, and therefore we're part of that risk. But there is no nation. There is no testament and covenant. Our staff is broken. It just hit me. This is unbelievable. And I don't know if you know, in the history of the Roman Church, supersessionism, people's replacement theology, has been dominant for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Literally, the realization of what Chazal say in Medrash, "Asidim Umas Ha'olam Loimer Ono Yisrael." Umas Ha'olam said, "Yes, we are now the new Israel. Yes, Mother Church, so to speak, is the new Israel, the new nation, and the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob have no more covenant; they are no more a nation, and they will not have a nation." The only justification of their existence, if you really want to read, I mean, there's certain people which are put to read Sifra Abimazor, so they get to Dean and so on. I tell a little bit. And the only justification for the Jewish existence is not as a nation, but as singular people who, through their existence, will tell the world the story of the Bible, thus giving credence to the basis of the New Testament. This theology went on for centuries. It's because of this theology that the church could not admit the existence of the State of Israel. Let alone, definitely not Jerusalem. And finally, when something crazy happened in the Six-Day War and we actually conquered biblical Israel, which really was the chagrin of the church, now it makes no sense. At least when we were only ruling over the seaboard, you know, with the Philistines over there, look, they had alumnus. But today we come, we're near Shalayim, and we're in Slatham, and we're there. Well, you had a certain Polish fellow that was the head of their organization, which changed their theology. And faith in theology is no more the mainstream of Rome. You may not be aware of the dramatic changes in our opposites. And now they actually say the Jews are a nation, and they are a religion, and they do have a covenant, but we are another. So we have a Christus, and they're actually a Rachel. They have the old Vilna Shas, we have the Oizu Adam. You know what I mean? They have the Harusha version. Okay, but that's what's happening. Do you realize what's happening? Do you realize what Churban and Geula is? Do you realize where Kavod Shemayim is moving, in which direction? Do you realize what part of history you're living in? The tragedy of Galus is not that we didn't learn Torah. The Shach did not live exactly in Yerushalayim. The Magavram did not live in Har Noch. What can I tell you? You know what I mean? They all lived back there. And Torah flourished, not just in Tambus, Be'ikah, Be'ikah, and Echus. Rabbi Yosheinu HaRishonim, Daleh HaPaisim, Shas Bavli. I mean, Shas Yerushalmi is there, but we don't pass in Yerushalmi. It's quite sparse and poor compared to Talmud Bavli. So the Limud HaTorah and Dignik B'mitzvah was not a problem in Galus. That wasn't the problem in Galus. If anything, I think that the Nisayon of Oini and the Tsar of Galus, I think we did well as far as keeping our identity and our religion. What did we lose? And here I want to continue with the theme that I started yesterday. It is so important. I'll tell you what we lost. And it's worth crying for. It mamish is worth crying for. It's something that I mamish pray for daily. You know, I mentioned yesterday that there's an idea called Klal HaTorah. I want to explain what that means. The Gemara writes that at the end of Pirkei Avos, we say, Yiratzon Shibonei Beit HaMikdash Bnei B'Yameinu V'tein Chodkeinu B'Torah Techa. As they point out yesterday, the Gemara says that piece is supposed to be the last part or the last part of the Mishnayos of Avos. That's supposed to be the seam of Avos. Why is the prayer for Binyan Beis HaMikdash the seam of Pirkei Avos? So the Gemara writes, Ki Pirkei Avos Hu Klal HaTorah. Min Ein Mikdash Ein Torah. Sheneemar Malkoa V'Sorea Bagoyim Ein Torah. It basically says that Pirkei Avos is the general idea of Torah. That was quite intimate. And that type of Torah will not exist without a Mikdash, not because I need a place for sacrifice. Rather, I need a place where we Malka V'Sorea V'Eretz Yisrael. I will have a government, a Memshola, a Malkus in Eretz Yisrael, which is focal point and its epicenter will be the Mikdash, as we explained at length on Friday night. The Chogigim Elov Shalish Pamin Barshana, that a nation converges on its epicenter, on the bris of the Luchas and the Avodas Hashem and the Karbanas, that's the Malchus that we need. And when we have that Malchus, we will find our own Chelik in Torah. What does this mean? And this is really, you know what it means? Pirkei Avos, what is Pirkei Avos? Pirkei Avos is basically the mantras of our great people. It's what they talk about. Who are you? What Pirkei Avos is? Did they get that from Sinai? Did say, "Ahavasam b'lachus nasa rabbanus"? Did Moshe hear that at Sinai? But I don't want to make the bad. No, they didn't. And more ma'atu say, "Abay," they didn't hear that at Sinai. And Moses didn't hear that at Sinai. You know what this is? This is each Tana distilled his total mass of Torah understanding, which became part and parcel of his personality, and he basically distilled from it certain major values and ethics. This is what would say, Miklal HaTorah Yirah Li. There's a question of Rambam like that. I don't have proof, my broad understanding of the double mass, this seems to be the truth. I once heard from my reverend that the only argument Rambam can catch arguments. He brings a Ryan you can argue, and he says, Michlal, I tell you what you're wrong, like, go argue with him. So Rambam came to give up this law. Klal attorneys, each and every one of those Tanoim, distilled the total mass of Torah was not just walking around with a bunch of knowledge. It became an internalized part of his personality, ultimately the paradigm through which he viewed reality, through his language was created, how his values were formed. Torah became not just knowledge, not just religious reality, but the cultural reality in which the man lived. God does not want a religion. He's not interested in being the head of a religious order. He wants to be a melech. You pray for that every Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It doesn't mean he needs a crown on his head. He's not an Archie Bunker comic book. He doesn't need a crown. You know what he needs? A king is he who embodies your national identity and the focal point of your cultural reality. Ask the English. That dysfunctional family of the Windsors, whether you like them as people or not, they embody English history, and the Englishman has their affairs. In that nice, fine old lady, they see their historical identity. It's what I see when I see the flag, when I go to the Knesset, filled with a bunch of people wearing it, they have the IQ of my thumbnail. It doesn't matter. That building is the embodiment of my national history and identity. And if I can't respect that, I have no self-respect at all. God wants to be at least like your flag. He wants to be your queen. He actually wants to be a king. He wants to be the embodiment. That is the point, hitting off old music. From him, we see the light. We hear the music, and etc. It is from him and to him that we look for direction, how we look in our world. The greatest challenge of Golus is and was that we actually believed the church. And we also said, Sor, shame it, me, Yehuda, and people are happy with the places, with having westernized culture, with basically being a person of Jewish beliefs. And religion has basically been demoted from a cultural, natural identity into a religious order, a theology alone. And a person who lives the Western world, educated in the Western world, thinks, breathes, and talks the Western world. And yet, I follow and learn the ideology, theology, and laws of God. And many a time I have a crisis. The fact that I have a hard time dealing with Kerbonis is because my culture is different than the culture of the Torah. The fact that there are so many mitzvos which are, that try to be almost apologetic to fulfill them and to accept them is because we don't think Torah is not our malchus. I believe, for me personally, it's the biggest religious challenge I have. Milchemes Amalek. Do I really want to slaughter one-day-old babies? They would call me Hamas, and I would call myself that. But that's your mitzvah, in case you want to know. Do you think I really enjoy the idea of Agamisa's Bezna, or flogging, or kippah, etc.? Are you kidding? I am majorly at odds with it. Also, as far as the rabbis, I can't tell you all the rest of my religious dilemmas. But I'm guessing that if you think, you would share them too. I'll share a story which I always tell my students. These are just an akdama, just understand what you're missing. What are you crying about? You're not crying about a building. You're crying about an idea that you lack. That you live a life, if you live a life of trying to really be really religious. religious and identify with your religion, and it should just go the way it should be. Wow, where is that? I feel like an empty shell compared to what should be. And I know there was some place where this worked, and I'm hoping for it to happen again. I feel like a doll with no inner soul. I'm doing the right movements, saying the right words, even thinking the proper thoughts. But there's always those that, yeah, okay, we're doing good, it's a mitzvah. It's what God wants. I like to want it too. The Mishnah of the office, I say Ritzayna, Ritzayna. At the moment, I'm only at Bato Ritzayna, Ritzayna. To any human being that wants to grow in religion, this is painful and it hurts. It's only Bato Ritzayna. Is it really a Sefer Tzedakah Ritzayna? Is your will synonymous with the will of God? We're in different planets, boss. I'll tell you a story. And this is a story I always tell my students, but it's just sometimes, you know, things happen in life, and you think it's like, you know, you're on, you know, that's a challenge. But, you know, it's like certain things happen in general like that. And I was on a train to Baltimore. And I love trains because it's quiet, no one bothers me, no one knows where I am, I can actually think. And some guy gets over to me and says, oh, are you Rabbi Blockman? My national attendant says, no, my name's Schwartz. What am I going to do? You know, the guy probably knew what I was, but he said, no, he's going to say, yes. Okay, you'll be in Ludwig, so. Okay, yes, I am. Now my guy is probably getting rid of me. So he says, well, how can I help you? I'll say, that. It's possible. It's again, it's possible. Keep doing it. We will be able to meet them. How do you do? And he says, well, he is marketing trainers. And, you know, he really wants me, he'll give me like 4 or 5 packs of beer, and I'll put out trailers. Nice. And I figure he thinks I'm a walking billboard, and if I do it, they go, oh, man, there's a stomach or something in it. You know, blah, 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 and he'll rake in. How do I get rid of it? So I tell him, you know, I'll tell you the honest truth, I'd love to help you. Began, you know, we shouldn't have been shown this with the shadows. So, I want to go, get out of here, you fool. We won't do that. My mother taught me manners. So I said, no, I'd love to help you. But the problem is, Tails doesn't work for me. What do you mean it doesn't work for you? Well, I'll tell you. In the culture of the Chumash, when you saw Tails, you immediately thought about the Yam. And as soon as you thought about the Yam, you thought about the Shemayim. And as soon as you thought about Shemayim, you naturally thought about Kisei HaKavod. And he says, yeah, right. So, well, I got a problem with that. See, I grew up in Chicago. When I say blue, I think energizer drink. Or when I finally think about the beach, I'm not sure I'm thinking about the water. And if I finally get into the water, I never thought about the sky. And I actually love astronomy, but I don't think about Kisei HaKavod, so it doesn't work. He looks at me and says, are you real? Yeah. Okay, I understand any life. But it is real. Do you think it's a joke? It is real. And I believe almost everybody in this room should have the same thing. God expected us to be people that would receive such tests and actually by associated thinking, naturally seek yourself covered. There are probably some people wearing Tefillah. Have you had a Kisei HaKavod experience? Please share it with me. I wish you knew what it was. Look, I know it's a damn good. Let me go. I'm asking if it works. Does it work? But God said it would work. Yeah, he said it would work in a certain cultural context. If you actually had Malchus Yisrael and your life and thoughts were all formed by Torah, it would work. But I probably read a lot of other books, not just Torah. My thoughts and feelings have been formed by libraries of literature. deterrent or not. But it's and also, have I been capable of making that the major focus of my cultural reality and all the rest only enhancing it? Or is that actually colored the way I think, you know? Suddenly see deterrent. Who's pushing who to where? This is not just a theoretical reality. This is mamash a korban of das. Kol tam chokum sheish badeya kiblu nibne beis hamigdash v'yama. The claim of shleima by Talmud Chacham, when he has that das of klal ha-tayra, when his morals and his ethics and sensitivities are formed by the total mass of Tayra, when Tayra becomes his culture, not just his religion, not just his information, not just his code of laws, and not just the book of ethics. He becomes internalized, and that's who he is. And that's what Malka b'sarea b'goyim ein Tayra means. When a nation is not a nation, it doesn't have land, it doesn't have a language, it loses its national identity and is incorporated in the cultures that it's in. And thank God it keeps its Torah, but it's lost its cultural dimension. And God is not a Melech. And if history is taking us to an unbelievable world now, slowly but surely, we are recapturing, slowly, at least the externalities of that reality of a Malchus. Unbelievable the time we're living in. Do you imagine when it finally comes, Mashiach's job is to, okay, now that you have the framework, I'm going to pour in the culture. What are you asking for? Thank God, you know, I got a house. I'm not living in under the bridge of history anymore. Actually, I have a house. It's that place in the Middle East that we all love to go visit. It's called the land of Israel. We have a hope. You have a few crazy cousins there, too. They're driving us crazy, whatever they're doing, you know. But, you know, you have hope. You know what you're praying for the Gula? Now you have the external framework. Fill in the national identity, the cultural identity, Torah and Shemayim. That's what you're waiting for. Das Hashem. You read the Haftarah? And you know what it says, you guys don't know me. That's why I'm going to go to the pound with you. We have to know him. We have to fill our batteries with Malchus of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, this is what I cry about. I relate to Kindness as losing the cultural identity of Torah through losing the base of Mesh is losing, he said, taking the carpet from under the feet of my world of religion. And all those things that happen in history are all part of that reality that we are just people which are not recognized as a nation, and we're scapegoats of history, and we live under the bridge of history, and we were persecuted for our only existence was to justify the covenant with the church. And when the church felt she didn't need us, she destroyed us. And that's when you were talking about the Crusades, and you were talking about, well, that's all true. It is all because we did broke our staff. When you cry, you should be crying over that beautiful twin sister in that piece of art in the Louvre. The one that's blindfolded, that so to speak, has no more sight and vision. The one who's garments of majesty are torn, she will never be a queen, she's a pauper. The one who has a staff which is broken, she will never have national stature. And when you pray, that's what you pray for. You pray for a new garment. There's a pasuk in Tehillim which attributes to Migdash way begging. Yachad u'Godai, the Ibn Shu'eb said it means the Beis HaMikdash. It is the garments of majesty. What we're looking for. But this is just the abdomen of what we want to talk about. I want to first start the first kinah. But I just want to add one more nekuda, and that's it. This is the framework I'm going to work with. We learned yesterday that Avelus demands three stages. Pachad, Daiga, Kishkush, Gemaisin, and Shuva. That's the Chiv Avelus and Iker, and then we learned in Rambam. What does Pachad mean? It's when death hits the family, you have a certain sense of mortality, a heavy sense of mortality. And you suddenly obey wants the stability of continuity. And all of a sudden, Allah mothers the power, when death occurs in the family, we also die. And the Rambam says, when death occurs in the family, you feel a sword on your shoulder next to your throat. For 3 days. You're totally frozen, you can't do a thing about it, you're destabilized. That's the first stage of avelus. The second stage of avelus is daiga, where the sword is no more on your neck, but it's in the corner of the house, in the room. You can't walk away from it, you can't close your eyes. But you somehow got used to instability, now let's see how we can deal with it. That's called daiga. Because the Ela, then for the rest of your life, if you really encounter that Pacha, it will never really leave you, and wherever you will go, the Cherev Oilech is the fun of Pashuk. You're starting to live a mature life of, it's not just today, because you don't know what there'll be tomorrow, so make the most of everything. Make today into tomorrow, into the past. And that's the Pishpush Ramaisa, that the Rekha, the background of Pishpush Michael is the Tshuva. In light of this, I'd like to start the first Kina. What I'm going to be looking at is the different stages in the Kina, these three themes, the Pachat, the Daiga, and ultimately the continue. So let's start the first Kina.